We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind Casino, still the one, and by Allstate, proud partner of Oklahoma Athletics. Now, here's Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast on a Tuesday. It's the Game Plan Live. That's not Toby Rowland.
Not Toby Rowland. Sorry to disappoint everybody
Chad
this week.
Chad McKee, ladies and gentlemen, making his podcast debut in 2021. We figured we'd save the best for last.
I'll take that as I'm fine with that, but you don't really mean that.
No, I mean it. I absolutely do. And Toby is out, but he's actually going to be back tonight for Rudy's and both of the shows this evening. So you'll get plenty of T-Row analysis with the Huddle and the Lincoln Riley Coaches Show tonight. Man, what a week to recap. And, I mean, we're going to take your questions off Facebook, and that's one of the great things about being live. So hit us up in the comment section. We'd love to hear from you. But, Chad, they went out and they took care of business against Iowa State, and they were able to do it despite not the best passing performance from this offense.
No, complementary football. We've talked about it all season long. How often are they going to play complementary football? They haven't all that many times this season, let's be honest about it, but they did enough to win. I can't help but think about Caleb Williams and the difference he has made with his feet this year.
Agreed.
And how many times he has done it. 74-yard touchdown run. Sooners are down 7-0 at that point in the game, and I know it's really early, but kind of stalled out offensively, and boom, there he goes. Just like when he came in the Texas game, just like 4th-and-1 against Kansas, his ability to do this is a game changer. And honestly, you say it might be that pass game, he and Spencer Rattler probably pretty similar.
Sure.
But it's his ability to do this right here.
Absolutely.
That's been the difference maker when the offense has absolutely had to have it.
You know, the interesting part of this is how successful they were when they seemed to commit to the run. And that's not to say, obviously, that Lincoln Riley wasn't committed to it. But he talked about, you know, calling different things and putting Caleb Williams in better situations. I don't know, Chad, outside of the final time they had the football when they went 3-and-out, I felt like they were able to run the ball pretty effectively about whenever they wanted on Saturday.
Did you feel like they left a little meat on the bone when it came to the run game to a certain extent? And they had, you know, Robert Conjol in there in the middle of the offensive line. Eric Swenson played a little bit. It sounds like they're going to be completely healthy for Bedlam, which is a great deal. But it's nice to have all those different pieces available that they have that they can plug and play on the offensive line. But I'm with you. Kennedy Brooks, that was maybe his second best day of the season, I felt like, with the consistency and the ability to just hand the ball off to him.
All right, me being an old notepad guy, here's one thing that stood out to me.
I've got so many notes and papers, I don't know. If you ask me something, I won't be able to find what I need.
This is what an old man I am. I went through on...
Do you need glasses to read that? Then you're not that old.
I wrote it big enough to where I wouldn't need my readers or my cheaters or whatever you want to call them. The Sooners average down and distance against Baylor on third down. Their average third down distance was 3rd and 8.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday against Iowa State, it was also 3rd and 8. But I dug a little deeper because that's how
dangerous.
I roll. Right. They were just 1 of 10 on third downs coming off a 2-for-9 game the week before. But it was interesting because their average second down distance was 2nd and 7.
Yeah.
So they got to be better on first down, Chad.
Well,
and their third down conversion percentage, if you were just to use the last 2 weeks, would be the worst in the country by far. UConn is at 227 with .227 on their third down conversion. Oklahoma just .157. So I'm getting all the negatives out of the way right now to say they've got to be better on first down.
Yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. But I will say this. I bet if you go back and look over the course of things since Lincoln Riley got to Oklahoma, I would bet you that the greatest percentage of their explosive plays happened on second down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're making explosive plays, in particular in the passing game on second down, you don't notice not being great on first down.
Right.
A 2nd and 7,
that's
a 2nd and 8, but when you have the explosive wide receiver play that they've had in the past, D.D. Westbrook, Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews, CeeDee Lamb, on down the list and on down the list. And I'm not trying to speak poorly. It just hasn't happened this year. I completely agree with you. Got to be in a better position on third down. If you're in 3rd down and 7, 3rd down and 8 against Oklahoma State's defense this week, you're in for a miserable day because they are as good as anybody in the country outside of Georgia at getting off the field when they have a 3rd down and long. But I'm with you. If you're better on 1st down, it makes 2nd and 3rd down a lot easier. Just the explosive plays are not there on 2nd and 3rd down right now with this team.
I love that drive. It was a 6-play drive that was all running the football at the moment.
That's the one we've been looking for this season, the one to put a team away almost, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you thought in that moment they would be able to. But, you know, credit Iowa State. This is a team that's not a joke, man. I mean, they haven't been blown out in any of their games this season, nor were they about to on Saturday. That's a tough team, and they hadn't given up a lot of sacks this year, and the Sooners live in the backfield. So, real quick, one final thought on the Oklahoma offense. I'm really excited, by the way, with the matchup, the OU receivers against the OSU corners. We'll get to it a little bit later on. I think the Sooners can have some success there, but, again, we'll preview that coming up in just a bit. Okay, defensively, speed D. If you're like, okay, I'm tired of hearing about third down struggles, let's talk about where the Sooners excel. Everyone's healthy, everyone's back, and oh, Chad, are they looking the part right now with this defense. They lived in the backfield Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you get 7 sacks. Isaiah Thomas, you know what having Jalen Redmond healthy has done for the defense is 2 things. He's a super productive player, and it's made Isaiah Thomas better since Jalen Redmond came back. Oh, my gosh. Listen, just if you play quarterback, don't turn back to the middle of the field like that. There are gigantic men like Perrion Winfrey waiting there to behead you for all intents and purposes. But, yeah, I mean, health along that defensive line is a key ingredient. Jalen Redmond being out made everybody less effective, not just not having Jalen Redmond's production in there. So I'm with you. And then how fitting is it Pat Fields, his interception, senior day, all he's meant to this defense the last 3 or 4 years, he's able to seal it. Having DeLarian Turner yell back and healthy for the last 3 games has really helped him. And Chris, they're forcing a lot of turnovers. They are now +9 in turnover margin. They in fumble recoveries, this play right here, which you could argue changed the complete complexion of the game right before the end of the half, the scoop and score, the hit by Key Lawrence. They are a +10 in fumble recoveries alone this year.
They had already set a mark, I want to say 2 or 3 games into the season. matching their fumble recoveries from the previous 2 years. And as Alex Grinch has taught us, takeaways equal victory. And this team had, gosh, three turnovers, takeaways they forced, Chad. Two of them were game changers, and one of them was a game saver. There's your game saver, the fumble recovery that we saw before the half, the thick six. That was a game changer because that changed all the momentum in that game. And, you know, you're going into Saturday night now against a team that I think is playing some of its best defense in Oklahoma, against a team, Chad, that has surprisingly turned the corner defensively in Oklahoma
State. This is Bedlam and the defenses. This isn't the Iron Bowl.
It seems wild.
We're talking
it?
About the defenses, and rightly so. Remember, you've got statistically the number one offense in the Big 12 in Oklahoma and the number one defense in the Big 12 in Oklahoma State. And everybody's surprised about Oklahoma State's defense this season under Jim Knowles. Perhaps we shouldn't be.
Right.
Given all of the veteran presences that they have. I mean, Jarek Bernard Converse and the guys back in the secondary. Malcolm Rodriguez and Devin Harper, the two linebackers. They just go tackle people.
Right.
And more than anything, Teddy talks about this all the time. All the time. We always see when there's a bust. You know, they highlight things when there's a bust. This guy was out of position. He was in the wrong gap. He was not in the right spot. We don't see plays where they diagnose him on TV and they go, see this? All 11 guys are in the exact right spot defensively. We never see that. You know,
right.
It's like with offensive linemen, we don't see their great plays. We just see when they get a penalty. But when guys line up in all the right spots, you are good defensively. They don't bust Oklahoma State, at least not very often, because they've got veteran guys over there who know where they're supposed to be because they've been through 80 snaps a game for three straight seasons on that side of the ball. So they're very good. Malcolm Rodriguez is an Oklahoma kid. He has a chance to lead the Big 12 in tackles this year. And the other thing about it is when they get to you, they get you on the ground.
Right.
Another thing Teddy says, it's a catch and a tackle. There are not a lot of yards after contact against Oklahoma State's defense.
Which is exactly what Oklahoma did on Saturday night against Iowa State.
Exactly.
I mean, you think about Breece Hall and what the Sooners held him in that running game, too. It's pretty amazing. But for this instance, we're talking about Oklahoma State's defense, and Malcolm Rodriguez was not a semifinalist for the Butkus Award, but it showed you how impressive he's been, is that there's legit outrage across the Big 12 that he wasn't beyond just fans of the Pokes. And I'll add one more thing on this Oklahoma State defense before we get back to the Sooner offense, is there's some plays to be had, I think. They're not afraid to get after you and leave their corners on an island.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what's going to be interesting to see this year. And I know Lincoln Riley was asked about it today at his press conference. But they disguise things well. You know, they change the picture on you quite a bit. This is my amateur X and O-ing here, Chad, from hanging out with Gabe
and
Teddy all the time. And it's going to be very challenging because it's completely different than what you've seen the last 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
right? And what you saw from Baylor and Iowa State, which is the umbrella defense. Oklahoma State, they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a much different look for Caleb Williams on Saturday night.
And their guy, they can do that because their guys get to the quarterback. They just do. They're front four, they're front six, front seven, if you want to, you know, throw in the rover player, whatever you want to call him. But they get to the quarterback effectively. The other thing that is going to be a big factor in this game, and it's happened with Oklahoma State a lot this year, they don't get penalized at the defensive back position
right.
very often. And, you know, you can go into a game, you can get penalized five times for pass interference. The next game, you don't get penalized any. It's a very subjective
right.
call. I think that is super important in this game. What are the penalty flags going to be like? Are they going to let them be physical? Because if they let them be physical with Oklahoma's wide receivers, that plays into Oklahoma State's hands. They've got physical guys, and that's what they like to do, as you said. They like to get up, press coverage, man coverage, and if you can beat their guys over the top, then you're just going to beat them. But we'll see about the penalty flags.
You guys are great questions. I'm going to get to them all, but I love this from Terry Blacketer, who just dropped in. We need to watch the not very smart penalties, OU.
And, yes.
And she's right, because that's been a problem. You go back even to Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and I rewatched the game last night. You think about the horse collar tackle on Brian Asamoah
mm-hmm.
on that first drive. That drives over if that doesn't happen. You think about, you know, getting yourselves, you know, I brought up this, you're in second and seven is your average second down distance. There was a lot of good gains on first down that are brought back because of an offensive penalty or a hold. I mean, it's just, It's not a massive number of penalties that were called on Saturday night, but Chad, you know, it's to the point to where you look back, it was only six for, no, that's nine. Well, the problem is they seem to come at inopportune times.
Yeah.
The penalties after either negating a big game or whenever you're getting off the field defensively.
You know, when we were playing these games in the Big 12 Conference that were 52-49 final scores, penalties didn't make that big of a difference. Texas Tech always led the Big 12 Conference in penalties, and they always had the most explosive offense. So they were able to overcome those. But we're playing these games that are more low scoring, fewer possessions equals fewer plays. And so when you get behind the chains, it's just more and more difficult for you to try to get back out in front of those chains. So, yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you. When do the penalties happen and how costly? A offsides penalty on first down puts you behind the chains, but it's not as bad as a holding penalty on second down and nine that puts you in second down and forever.
And what's wild is, to Terry's question, and I think it was a big problem against Baylor, they seemed to correct it, but I was blown away. I was looking down the box score quickly. There was only four penalties that were called on the Sooners on Saturday night. It just seemed as if all four were just at inopportune times. And real quick, for those of you on the Facebook side, you see the schedule. This is what we've been counting down to all season long, this November stretch. Obviously, a tough loss in Waco. And now, you know, you're in a situation to where everything is still out in front of you with Oklahoma State this weekend.
Look at it just real briefly.
Right.
You can take number 22 away from Texas, obviously, given what has happened.
Unfortunately,
you don't have a ranked win until this week if you're Oklahoma. So from that vantage point, you are sitting here with your two best wins this season yet to come if you can beat Oklahoma State twice. Now, college football playoff rankings, is it a long shot? Maybe, but maybe not for the Sooners, Chris, because pending where the rankings fall on Tuesday night, Oklahoma State's going to be number 6 or 7 in the rankings. You get a win over them, then play Oklahoma State the next week when they're potentially number 10, number 11. Those are your two best wins of the season.
Absolutely.
A lot of your sins will be forgiven with two wins over what's become a very – Oklahoma State being respected this much really, really helps Oklahoma's cause.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, tonight, I'm just going to make this prediction right now, and we don't have enough time in this podcast to sit here and go through it, and some of you might be – catching this podcast on the actual podcast side well after these rankings have dropped.
These rankings,
So what I'm laying...
We know Oregon's not going to be number three. That's the only thing I know for sure.
Here's my prediction. I think Ohio State moves up to number 2 tonight, Alabama 3, and I think they're going to put Michigan at 4.
I think they're going to put Cincinnati in at number 4 just to set the world on fire.
Well,
I really do.
This committee has shown a flair for kind of the drama of it.
Which is why I think they'll put Cincinnati.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, because I think they would be building up the Ohio State-Michigan matchup.
Well, that would help.
Right.
Is that on that game on Fox?
That game is on Fox.
Okay. So the ranking show's on ESPN, so I don't know.
Maybe not. But I'll tell you what. I would not be surprised one bit if they keep Cincinnati at 5. And then here's what's interesting about tonight. Boy, I said I wasn't going to go all in on this, and here we go.
We've shoved the chips into the middle of the table.
Where does Oklahoma end up, and does Oklahoma State jump Notre Dame? Because if Oklahoma
State... I think Oklahoma State does jump Notre Dame.
Right.
I mean, they shut out Texas Tech. When's the last time at home? When's the last time Texas Tech was shut out at home? The 1990s sometime?
It had to be even before then, probably,
It was before Mike Leach got there, I promise you, which was in the 1990s.
Everything in the 90s, which was like a couple years ago to me. So it's like, I got to realize, like, well, that was like 30
I mean, the 88 Bedlam game, Gattis versus Sanders, is like yesterday to me. The 85 game, the Ice Bowl as well.
Yeah, but here's the thing, is if Alabama stays at 2 tonight, I think we need to start preparing ourselves that there's a really good chance that a two-loss Alabama is going to get in if they lose to Georgia.
I agree.
If what Ohio State has done this last 2 weeks doesn't elevate them to 2, then I think we need to start preparing ourselves that a two-loss Bama is getting in.
Yeah, and why do we even concern ourselves with the results of these games?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just let's look at the recruiting rankings and who's going to have the most NFL draft picks and put them in the playoff.
All right, a lot of good questions here on Twitter. I want to hit them before we get out of here. This is a really good point from Vinny on Twitter. He says, Caleb's a freshman. There's tape now for these good coaches to review, and it's showing. He'll be fine, But unfortunately, it's part of the maturity process of a young quarterback.
I love that, and that's a great point. And Lincoln Riley in the press conference on Tuesday brought something up. You know, they're still learning about each other. Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams are. When we look back, we've gotten so spoiled with quarterback play from the get-go that we see these. Remember, Baker Mayfield struggled his first season until the Tennessee game. Mm-hmm. But let's recall this, okay? We saw Spencer Rattler in his true freshman season last year, and there were highs and there were lows, a lot like what we've seen with Caleb Williams. Remember, the three predecessors, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, we did not see their freshman seasons in college because they were played at another place. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield was playing at Texas Tech. We saw a little bit of that following Texas Tech when he was there. We didn't see Kyler Murray's freshman season, or at least that much of it, and he got put on the bench at Texas A&M. We didn't see them go, and we didn't see that much of Jalen Hurts because we were watching Oklahoma play for the most part instead of Alabama. But they all had growing pains. We just didn't necessarily see those growing pains. We are seeing the growing pains that Caleb Williams is going
through. Yeah, and it's funny. You hit it on the head. Go talk to Texas Tech people about kind of that first year of Baker, or Texas A&M people about that first year of Kyler, or even I think Alabama almost won a national championship, Jalen's freshman year. But there were still growing pains along the way. And, you know, we're seeing that play out right now. Not everyone bursts onto the scene like Trevor Lawrence, because not everyone has Cleveland Farrell and Trayvon Mullen.
ATN and all of those guys.
That defense that they had. Yeah, I mean, so it's just kind of a different world whenever you try to compare freshman quarterbacks. There's a couple more here that I want to get to before we get out of here. Willie had brought up a really good point. He lays out OU's offense just needs to be electric this game, too much talent not to be explosive, and it's as healthy as we've been all year. Now, I would counter that by saying DJ Graham doesn't seem to be healthy, right? He goes out with the injury on Saturday. He is a key part of this defense. And I won't lie to you, I was shocked and pumped whenever Lincoln talked about everyone being available on the offensive side of the football after watching the way that Andrew Rame got rolled up and hearing Gabe's reaction to it.
Yeah.
So Gabe Eichert was down there watching it. When I heard that, Chad, that fired me up because, A, you know, Andrew Rame has been an important part of this offense, and, B, you know, I know that Eric Swinson came in and did well. I know Robert Condrell came in and did well. But in what he and Anton Harrison bring athletically, I think they need those kind of dudes on the line Saturday night.
And it may be that they have to use all of them,
no matter who is healthy.
You know, just to switch things up. But, yeah, to be able to have Mario Williams back, obviously he is a difference maker. He has become the most explosive wide receiver on the football team. DJ Graham, I think Lincoln's comment on, and I hope I'm not wrong on this, but I think it was questionable.
I would question
whether or not he will be able to play. He's a difference maker. And even if you want to have everybody in a game like this because they might all have to play. I think a couple of other guys, Key Lawrence's emergence,
he had
a huge game.
He's been great.
To be able to, and part of it was with injuries, they had to move him around a little bit, but they've gotten him in there. He's gotten his feet wet in this thing, and he was a huge difference maker, forcing the fumble, had that big sack for about an 18-yard loss in the game. So, yeah, the bye week came at the right time. They got most of their guys healthy, headed into the three toughest games that they're going to play all season long. And now here you are. You know, you go out and try to be electric on Saturday. What's interesting about it is Spencer Sanders, the Oklahoma State quarterback, he made a lot of mistakes his first three seasons. He's not making as many mistakes. They have figured out, and they have the luxury of allowing him to do that, Chris, because of how well their defense is playing. He doesn't have to go out and try to force the ball into places that he shouldn't. He's playing well. Jalen Warren's running the football very, very well for them, and they've just kind of figured it out. But that's what having a good defense has done for Oklahoma State. It has allowed their offense to manage the game a little bit more.
Yeah, and I like the idea from Mark Burns, just win, baby. The man who coined that. I wish his NFL team was doing that as well, too.
My Raiders. Yeah, you've got your mouse pad back.
I'm thinking about ripping it in half right now.
That's okay.
Mark, why don't we play more running backs? Let's throw the ball to the tight end more. Let's remember we just get Marcus Major back. And, you know, he ran the ball hard against Texas Tech, but did put the ball on the turf. That's a big no-no.
Yeah, that's going to find you on the sidelines.
Yeah, but I think he's got a chance to be someone that can help out. And throwing the ball to the tight end, they didn't get a chance to throw the ball too terribly much on Saturday.
Well, how many more plays did Iowa State run? I meant to look that up before we did this.
Well, I've got the scorebook here in front of me, and because I don't, this is where you can't
make
fun of me.
Iowa State ran 34 more plays than Oklahoma.
They had the football for a whole quarter more,
yeah,
essentially, than Oklahoma did. And then Kevin had asked, is Theo Weese available this week? Well, coming up this week on Coach's Corner, Dennis Simmons is our guest.
Oh, so you're going to get the definitive word there.
I'll get the definitive word for you. Spoiler alert, we taped it already. He feels like he's good to go.
Nice.
So we'll hopefully see him more. And, it's going to be fun this Saturday night to watch these two teams.
Do you have a favorite Bedlam memory, favorite Bedlam game? You know, you've been a Tulsa guy since you were a wee toddler.
I started covering OU and OSU football in 99, mm-hmm. was my first year. And my first year on the sidelines was 11, and I try to forget that game every single day. But the 13 game, when OU went back down there and the throw by Blake Bell in the corner of the end zone, that was great, being on the sidelines with Dusty and Teddy. And there's a great shot after the fake field goal of Dusty and I celebrating on the sidelines, and they were like, oh, no. I can't remember the kick. Michael Honeycutt just got blasted. Is he okay? You see us going over there and trying to help him. But, there's so many little things about this series that I love, right? I think it was then 14 where OU clinched the big – the year, maybe 16, when they clinched the Big 12 championship on their home field and to celebrate on the field. I think 14 was then the walk-off by Brennan Clay. There's just been some great moments in this series. Hold on. I brought up 14. That's not the walk-off by Brennan Clay.
Yeah, that's not the walk-off.
That's the rebound.
Yeah,
sorry.
Don't bring up Tyreek Hill.
No, not at all. But 12. 12 was the walk-off. I just – this series, Chad, I love – so I mentioned 18 minutes there, and our 18 plays there, and I didn't even bring up the Baker Mayfield block whenever Joe Mixon had his touchdown.
Yeah.
You went as a kid. You were actually at the Ice Bowl.
I was at the Ice Bowl in 1985. We had we slipped and slided our way up Highway 177 from Shawnee to Stillwater. And at halftime, my poncho froze to my seat, to my bleacher seat. And when I got up, it tore off of me. So that was the end of the day for me. 88 game is still a classic to me. And I'm really showing people how old I am. But you can see the gray hair, so you're probably aware of that already. Coach Switzer called Mike Gaddis, the late Mike Gaddis, the greatest running back he ever recruited out of the state of Oklahoma. And in 1988, he went up against the Heisman winner, Barry Sanders, in one of the all-timers. It was a game that Oklahoma State had a chance to win. A wide receiver dropped the pass in the end zone. His name has gone on in infamy among Oklahoma State fans. But that was an absolute classic. And I had bought a student ticket. You had to have a student ID to get into the game. I was in high school, so I didn't have one. I bum-rushed the ticket gate and got in to watch that game from the end zone up at old Lewis Field.
Statue of limitations up on that.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. You know, I've done far worse, though, to get into a football game.
By the way, real quick, before we let you get out of here, Vinny asks a good question. What do you like more, OU football podcasts or MLF?
Oh, Major League Fishing, come on, that's like choosing your favorite child, you know? I can't do that.
There's only one right answer.
The podcast has been great today. Right now, it's the podcast.
It's by far the longest podcast we've ever done.
Is it
for
really?
That.
I'm too wordy.
Sorry. No, it's
that
been great.
It's time
I'm
to go.
Very sorry, Craig Moran. All right,
it's my fault.
No,
just blame me.
Thanks, brother.
For being here this
Chad
week.
Chad and I got like three TV shows we're doing together
we
today.
One.
So we got another one coming.
And then
up
I'm doing volleyball tonight and basketball tomorrow. So.
Oh my gosh. 9 a.m. Saturday. No, what am I saying? It's not an 11 a.m. kick. 4:30 p.m. Saturday night, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. For those of you on the podcast side, the Lincoln Riley press conference is now.
But welcome, everybody. Excited week. Another episode of Bedlam. And as it's become here in a lot of the years that I know that I've been here, it's a game with a lot of important things riding on it. So that's what makes it more fun. There's no question about it. These rivalry games are always great, but when you got two good football teams that are going at it with a lot at stake, makes it even better. So excited about the opportunity to get down to Stillwater, play an outstanding Oklahoma State team, playing at a high level. Their coaches have done a phenomenal job with these guys. A lot of guys returning that have improved and are really playing at a high level. They've been a really consistent club the majority of the year, especially the back half here. So We know it'll be a big challenge. We're excited for it. Should be a great game Saturday night. Excited about the way, again, that kind of we responded and I think really built some momentum last week. I think you could feel that with the guys this week. And it's just kind of how you start at the beginning of the season. This is kind of how you draw it out, kind of hope what you hope would happen, that a game like this would have so much riding on it. And it is because both teams have had tremendous seasons. So should be a lot of fun.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
How do you prepare your guys for just that stadium with how close the fans are and the short sidelines and things like that? Is that something you have to talk to them about or prepare them for?
We've talked a little bit about it in the past. I mean, we give them a quick overview of every stadium that we play in, and surface and kind of all of that. So it's discussed, but I mean I don't honestly feel like that the size of it is that much of a factor. I mean, you get down there and you walk around pregame and the sidelines are tight and all that, but once you get in the game, it's a good atmosphere and it's a tough place to play. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know that how narrow it is really affects the game much. So we make them aware, but it's kind of like the old Hoosiers deal, right? And still measure it out. Tape measure still going to be the same.
What does make it such a tough place to play there?
I would say for us, it's a rivalry game that you go play on the road. I mean, this is different than, different in a lot of ways than OU Texas, where that's this one being a home and home, and you get to play one at home, but then you go play one on the road. And obviously we know their fans, crowd, all that will be geared up for it, like they have been every time that we've been there and like our crowd is when they come here. So, it's a little bit different atmosphere there, but it's a great stadium. Fans are into it. Students are into it. It's a fun place to play.
Ryan Avery, Lincoln, obviously a lot goes into rivalry games, regardless of the circumstances with the teams. With the success that your team's had, both short-term and long-term in this series, does that help going into this, and can it be a double-edged sword, just sort of psychologically, with your guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just is what you make of it. I think we can take a confidence that we've prepared well and been able to play well in this game historically. But the flip side of that is, if we think that alone is going to allow this team to do that, then we'll be mistaken. You've got to. A lot of respect for this opponent, and you've got to prepare at a high level. You got to play at a high level. You got to do it in a road venue. You have to handle all that well. Past teams have been able to do it, but this team's got to go do it, and we've got to prepare that way. We've got to play that way on Saturday. As far as like how much time we spend on it, talk about it, honestly, not a whole lot. I try to keep it more about here and now, because ultimately that's what's going to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Gabe Berkic, he's struggling a little bit now. What do you do to just kind of work him through this? He's had so much success in the past. And then also Michael Turk, just his ability to flip field. We saw that on Saturday. Just talk about your kickers in this game.
Yeah, Gabe would be great. I mean, no other kicker I'd rather go into a game like this with. So, that's – when you do that for a living, you're going to miss some every now and then. And he's made his share, and he'll make them on Saturday night. Michael's been great for us. He's really – got this back half of the season, I think, it's really settled in and hit the ball at a high level. You know, our coverage teams have done a good job. You know, where our net punt has been pretty solid, and that's been important. We obviously had a bunch of big ones there the other day. So, no, it is. You're right. The special teams always show up, and in this game, it always seems like there's a couple of big special teams plays. I know historically that's been the case for a lot of these games, and so certainly when two high quality teams go at it, a lot of times it can be a differentiating factor.
This season, finding out like what his strengths are at this point and how much he can still handle.
I think we're both still in the, like, we're kind of feeling each other out right now, period. You know, we've had some games where we've played just, we and he have just played lights out. We've had some games where we have been good at times and not good at times. I think, again, as you go through these different experiences, you're learning. I mean, you know, for him, I mean, he's just now hitting kind of the halfway point of his first season, you know, and you're playing kind of a run here of fairly experienced defenses. This one may be I don't know if I've ever played a more experienced or senior heavy defense than the one that we'll play Saturday night. But we're learning. And honestly, even with varying degrees of results, whether we've played great and scored a bunch of points or we've just played okay and scored a few points, I think he would echo the same thing. We can see the progress and we can see why we're starting connect, and results will continue to come more consistently as that happens. But he's doing a lot of good. I'm learning more and more kind of his rhythm, his ways, you know, kind of what he likes, what he doesn't like as you get into these new situations. And so we'll continue to be better for each other.
Jesse Crittenden. Hey, Lincoln. Obviously, this game on Saturday is kind of unique because Oklahoma State's already made it to the Big 12 title game, and you guys got to play to get in. If you win, you play them again next weekend for the Big 12 title game. Just how conscious are you of that from a game plan standpoint, and just how unique of a situation is this in this rivalry?
The potential is unique, but I mean, it's, you know, it's on us to win. So I approach this like every other one. I mean, even when we've had games before in the regular season where we've already clinched it, you know, we've been in that position and knowing we're going to the Big 12 title game, and you don't hold back. I mean, this, you know, we don't get 50 of these things, you know, we don't get 60 of these things. You only get so many. So whether the, and even if the roles were flipped and we were clinched and they were, had to beat us to get in, I don't think I would do one thing different.
John Hoover. So, I think I know the answer, but maybe you could walk me through it. Mental, like, logistics that goes into, there's a game at 11 a.m. kicking off ahead of yours. You want guys to watch it. You don't want guys to watch it, you know, because that'll obviously have an outcome on what you guys do, depending on if you win or lose. If Baylor loses, you get to go no matter what you do.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll pay a whole lot of attention to it. I mean, will we look at a score? Yeah, probably so. But I think the thing, we just got to deal in the controllables and deal with what we know right now. What we know is if we win the game, then, you know, we're where we want to be. And so I think that's the most important thing. I mean, listen, I mean, no matter what happens with that other game, you know, our expectation level is to play well and to win the football game, like any other game. And so, we would be disappointed if that did not happen, regardless of what happens in the Baylor game. So, you know, again, our goal right now, it's not like everybody's walking around saying the goal is, man, let's just make it to the championship game. You know, it's not. I don't know if I've even said that one time to the team this week. I don't know if I've even heard one player say that. I mean, it's just, Let's go play well. Let's go win a football game Saturday night at 6:30, and that's where the focus needs to be.
Gary? Yeah, Lincoln, against this defense, what do you need most out of Caleb Saturday night? Do you need mistake-free? Do you need him to produce big plays, the kind he's shown? What do you need most out of him?
I'll take all the above. that would all be good. Yeah, I mean, they're a very good defense. I think the thing I would say for him is I think we need just a big stack of routine plays out of him. And they certainly don't make that easy. But the more routine plays that he can make, then I think the big ones from him and from other players on our offense will come that way. And honestly, when he's done that, when we've done that as an offense, we've played pretty well. And again, that routine play can be described a lot of ways, whether it's a run, whether it's a down-the-field throw. I mean, whatever it is, we need to be steady and go execute and not make a lot of mistakes, because you know you're playing a group, you know, again, like I referenced, that has so many starts, that has so much experience. You turn in on film, and one of the reasons they've played very well defensively, they don't make a lot of mistakes. I mean, there's just not a lot of – you watch the tape, and there's not a lot of just gimmies where they busted and just gave the offense something. You just don't see that much, and they're experienced, they're well-coached, and, I mean, it's kind of what you would expect. So we need to play the same way. You know, we don't need to give them any gimmies, any big negative plays. I think if we do that, we'll have a chance to make our fair share.
6 straight years with the guy who became the All-Big 12 quarterback. What kind of confidence do you have in your quarterback this year in terms of relative to the rest of the quarterbacks? Like, I have no idea who might be the All-Big 12 quarterback this year. I got no clue. If you do, give me a name. But what your advantage at quarterback has been pronounced over the years against most teams you played. How is that different this year with a young guy who's only played 4 or 5 games?
I still have a lot of confidence in him, because, I mean, when he and then we as an offense around him have played at a high level, we've played, we've had, you know, a stretch of games, a set of games since he's been the starter where we've played just as high level as we've ever played. And now, have we had some bouts of inconsistency? We have, but again, my confidence comes from the progress that he's making that I see on Saturdays and behind the scenes. And then my confidence comes from, I think, some of the times when we have not been good, it's not just us getting our butt kicked. You know, typically it's been kind of within our control and things that we can do, should do better, whether it's a coach, whether it's a player, whether it's Caleb, whether it's another player on the offense, whatever. I just see it as very controllable. And that's a good feeling, because you know that you can get it fixed. You know you can do it at a high level. And when we've done it, there's been fantastic results, both for him and the whole group.
Aaron? Back to the experience gap, Lincoln, Caleb, the last 2 weeks against Baylor and Iowa State, of course, what he's facing Saturday. Is it such that you say, look, don't overthink this, because this is a complex deal for anyone to solve. You're still, I think he's still a teenager. Just go play, you know, whether it's like you did at the Cotton Bowl or against, you know, 6-touchdown game, whatever it was going through your mind, free and easy, whatever it was that day, be that guy again. Don't you go there in this matchup, or is that overthinking? Caleb's overthinking.
Yeah, I think I can piece that together. You're good. I certainly get where you're coming from. I don't know that – is there times in some of these games, even the games that he's played too well, where he's overthought? Yep. Possibly. I mean, he's a young guy. I mean, I think it kind of goes back to Barry's question of, you know, what do you need to play well in this game? And again, I think the thing we need from him is just to be consistent, to be steady, and just to make the routine play. He's going to, just by nature of his skill set and the way he plays, he's going to always make a few spectacular plays. I mean, that's just that they just kind of built that way. You're going to have a handful of those, you know, no matter what. And so the steadier, the more consistent he can become and play, then I think the more consistent as an offense it will play. You don't play behind the chains. You know, you get drives off to a good start. I mean, kind of all that goes into playing really good ball, and then your explosives come from that. So that's kind of the focus with him. Again, it's also new. He's learning. I mean, he's taking it in. So I don't know that in a sense that it's overthinking. I think in a sense I'm just kind of watching him grow, you know. I'm watching him learn and watching him go through these different experiences. And he's, each time he comes out of it, knowing a little bit more, learning a little bit more. How would I handle this if it comes up again? Next time I get in this situation, next time I see this defense, or next time this happens on this play. And every one of them is invaluable. It's just kind of building, it builds confidence, and it's kind of just building a library inside of him that where he understands it and knows how to react and doesn't have to think. So, he's just progressing, you know, he's learning. But the flip side of that is I do expect him to play very well. I mean, and he's given me a lot of reason to expect that right now.
With a learning curve, to someone as gifted as he is, frustration sets in, especially if you haven't experienced this kind of thing before. are you having to take extra time with him to assure that he's not crossing the line in terms of just being?
Yeah, and I think that's just part of learning. You know, that's just part of being in some of these different unique situations. I mean, you look at, you know, a lot of our guys have been able to go through that at different times. I mean, you know, Spencer had moments of that last year, especially in the first half of the year. I mean, go look at the success level of, you know, Baker and Kyler's first year in college. I know it wasn't here, but I mean, it wasn't what it became. And so this guy's, you know, he's learning like those guys did. He's learning on the fly. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you understand what it is. I think you try to put him in the best position. You let him keep growing. And again, you know, what's on everybody's mind is, you know, the last couple of games we've been hit and miss offensively. You know, everybody forgets, you know, we've had a lot of moments with this offense, especially the back half of the year, where we've lit people up, and we have that ability. We have that capability. And so that's what we're focused on, because when we have, and nothing spectacular, but when we/he have played very in control, we've played confident, we've played more mistake-free, we've been a good offense, and we'll need to do that Saturday.
Cliff, yeah. Coach, what do you think about what Spencer Sanders has done at Oklahoma State, and what do you see as perhaps different about him now versus maybe last year or maybe the year before?
Yeah, he's really doing a nice job. He's improved. He's improved a lot through the years. I mean, it's kind of like playing some of these quarterbacks that we played, you know, multi-time or several times over a multi-year period in this league historically. You know, you see him play as a young guy, and then you see him, you know, I think probably making a few less mistakes. You know, he's always been a tremendous athlete. I mean, everybody's known that, but he's obviously running well and a factor with his legs. And then and I do think he's really improved in the throw game. Not that he was bad before, but he's certainly done some nice things this year. So now they've done a good job with him. He's growing and learning. I'm sure going through some of that's gone through a little bit of that same process that we just talked about in depth.
Mm-hmm.
Last year he got hurt, so he played sparingly. This looks like the first time he's at least coming into the game healthy. Do you? And I'm curious, you talked about his running ability with their run game, which has become such a focus for them. That's a look you've not seen from him, a healthy Spencer Sanders in that run game. What's the challenge of trying to slow that down along with Jalen Warren and whatever a running back will put back?
Yeah, no, it's definitely an added element that you have to defend. And, you know, we have been prepared to defend it the last few years. And obviously, like I said, he got, I think got hurt in the one last year, didn't play in the one 2 years ago. But he's a tremendous athlete. We got a lot of respect for him. They do a great job with their scheme of using him and making him a factor in the run game, even if he's not always carrying the ball. So, I mean, you've got to respect it. You've got to do a great job defending it. Now, that being said, I mean, over the past several years, we've played several athletic guys. And so, I mean, I think it's a challenge that I think you know what the challenge is. You just got to go do it well. And typically when your quarterback's a good athlete, it makes you accountable on all levels of the defense. And it's it does change the game in a lot of ways.
And you played two really good defenses the last 2 weeks. This may be the best one. I think it'd be fun to hear you as the OC trying to design something for them. What you see in Oklahoma State, what are you running into Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like we said, it's one of the more experienced defenses that, man, I can remember coaching against maybe in my entire career. I mean, it's got to be top five as far as the most experienced defenses. I mean, you look down the depth chart, it's senior, 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 senior. I think occasionally there's a junior in there, but not very often. And you know what they've done? You know, they've played at a high level this year. They've played very consistent. The front's done a good job, you know, creating pressure on quarterbacks. They've obviously had a lot of tackles for loss, sacks, all that. And they've really played, you know, pretty clean football. You know, haven't given up a lot of big plays, hadn't had a lot of penalties, hadn't had a lot of busts, you know. And so they've made people, when people have moved the ball or scored points, people have had to earn it, you know. And that's what really good defenses do, and they've done it. They've been able to just – it's just been a very consistent group. They've stayed very healthy, a lot of same guys – you know, same scheme. And they've added their wrinkles like everybody does. But no, it's a good group top to bottom, and doesn't have, you know, it's as you watch them, you don't just see a ton of weaknesses on tape. Like, they don't have an area where you just point to and say, man, their air is just killing them. You know, they've got, you know, good playmakers at all levels.
Justin Martinez.
Yeah, I just want to ask you about Kennedy Brooks, who had a really good game last week after, I think, first 100-yard rushing game since Kansas, especially with Oklahoma State being so good against the run. Just what's it going to take for him to have a strong performance, and how big would that be for you guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, when he's played good, we've played pretty good. No, it'll be important. You know, he's had some good games in the past against these guys and have been key to some victories before. And now we know this year's a new year, new challenge. But, no, he and our run game are obviously a big part of what we do. You know, they obviously help with the young quarterback. I mean, they, you know, there's nothing like being able to run the football at a high level on the road. And so, no, it's important every single week. Yeah, and like you said, against a group like this that's been good defensively against the run, that'll be probably one of the keys to the game.
Ryan Chapman. Hey, Lincoln, after the game, you said Caleb was trying to be really patient and maybe it prevented from pulling it and running a few times. Has he been a guy, just as you've gone through film review, that can make those adjustments very quickly from Saturday to Saturday? Or is it a situation where maybe you put in some more plays that running's an option for him much sooner as he goes through his progressions to kind of get that going for you guys out on the dimension?
Not very capable. I mean, I think it's just, again, feel for the game, feel for how you're being defended, feel for what you got to do in given moments to move the football and keep us marching down the field. So, nah, his capability mentally, physically is not an issue really anywhere.
Mason Young.
Lincoln, Mike Gundy said yesterday he feels like potentially down the road it would be hard to keep Bevelin together just because of the business side of college football. You and also Joe and Joe seemed more optimistic back in August. Do you still kind of feel that optimism, especially given all the scheduling challenges and everything that presents down the road?
Yeah, I would say I do. I mean, I don't think, at least not saying we're right, wrong, you know, but I would say my perspective hasn't changed not in any. I mean, it's a lot of teams that, you know, end up at some point in different conferences and still play a rival. So, again, we all know lots changing in college football. Nobody can sit up here with a crystal ball and know for sure. But I would say from our perspective, nothing's changed.
Okay, can't tell if that's Shannon back left.
Hi. So you talk about a lot this experienced defense and how it's one of the most experienced defenses you've ever seen. The past two games you've been very run reliant, and we haven't seen a lot through the air. With this defense being so good against the run, do we expect to see Caleb throwing the ball more?
I want us to throw it well. You know, I can't, and really not that I'm trying to keep anything from opponent. I just, you never know exactly how a game's going to play out. You just call the game as it evolves. And so I think the biggest thing for us is when we do throw it, we want to be more polished, more efficient, throw it to our capabilities. And I think if we do that, then we'll have a chance to be productive, and it'll obviously help us as an offense.
Army.
The times where the offensive line's done a pretty good job protecting, Caleb couldn't find receivers. Is that more him not seeing guys, your receivers not getting open? Just how important they're going to be for you this week to throw the ball better with the wide out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes all. I mean, when we go back and look at some of our struggles in the throw game here the last few weeks, or times when we have not thrown it as well, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. I mean, it's kind of like it sometimes is when it's not going good. We just hadn't quite timed it out as much, where all three levels, the protection, the quarterback, and the wideout, have all been good enough or at a high enough level on each play. Again, we're playing there's a lot of positive things in the throw game, and it feels like, I mean, just the opportunities for some of the big plays that have been, I mean, just, I mean, agonizingly close here the last few weeks. I mean, you go, there's, I mean, easily 400, 500 yards worth of big plays that were all of them just inches away. But that's this game, and that's this game against good competition. So, no, wideouts are going to have to be sharp. Quarterback's going to have to be sharp. Game plan's going to have to be sharp. Protection's going to have to be sharp. You do that, you're going to have a chance to make some plays.
Barry.
Yeah, in the committee's eyes, you've been sort of penalized for the way you played and maybe who you played. Looks like maybe that's all out the window starting Saturday night. If you win this game, it looks like to me, nobody's going to care how you win it or anything else. You like where you're at, or you like the possibility that it's set up for getting back to the playoff?
Absolutely. And I have for a long time this year. I've always felt that way. It's, you know, we can't forget the past. You know, we've been through this so much. And if you win, things can take care of themselves. People are going to lose games. People are going to fold down in the month of November. I mean, it happens every single year. All these people, these teams that everybody thought, oh, there's no doubt they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And it always happens this way. And so you just keep winning. I told our team even before last week that the opportunity in front of our team is probably even bigger than what they think it is right now. You know, however each one of them before we went and played that game against Iowa State would define, if I went and asked each player, what do you think the opportunity in front of this team is right now? Whatever their answer would have been, I thought it's probably bigger. I mean, it's really there. And so you just got to go play. You just got to go win. You got to keep improving as a team. And like I said, the good thing for us is we've got a very strong history of doing that. We've got a lot of guys, people in this program that have been a part of that. So I think there's a calmness and a confidence that, you know, don't listen to the outside world. If you just win, all that junk will take care of itself. And so we've done that. We've put ourselves in position. You know, now we got to go win this one.
You know, Lincoln, you had to play your depth in the offensive line in the last game. Where are you at in that? How's your offensive line looking going into this game?
Yeah, I think we'll have everybody available, but I thought a couple of guys that came in, Conjul, did a really nice job. I thought Eric Swenson came in, did a really nice job, like he typically does. So, no, it was good to be able to play a few different guys. I think it helped us, refreshes those guys a little bit. And those guys have been practicing well enough that we've been wanting to play them. So it was good to get them in, and they both responded well. And I think we'll have those guys as options along with everybody else this week.
Eric Bailey.
Kind of just a follow-up to that. So Andrew Green, right now, injury status?
Yeah, I would say he's expected to play.
And then
yeah.
DJ Graham?
Questionable right now, but I would say questionable. Yeah, we'll see how the week progresses.
You mentioned special teams. Can you sort of describe what happened on the fake punt Saturday? Were you guys, was it a bust? Did you just not see it coming?
Yeah, it was a bad decision by me. I mean, in that situation, I mean, sometimes you get caught in these moments where you want to give yourself an opportunity for return, especially when you get a stop back there in the negative part of the field. We did have one player that busted that would have had an opportunity to make or stall out the play. But, yeah, that's kind of the game you play, you know, and sometimes it's kind of the cat and mouse game of is somebody going to really attempt this backed up like that. And in that situation, they did, and they had a better call than we did.
Is there anything to you're backed up, the season's backed up to playing the three best defenses statistically ranked that you will have played all year. Is there anything to the fact that maybe Oklahoma State's defensive ranking puts them above the others, but you've been building up to where they're at? In other words, Baylor, physical brand of defense, Iowa State, physical brand of defense, and now you guys are kind of prepared maybe for this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're certainly, us being prepared for it, I think won't be a hindrance. I mean, we get to practice against a really good defense, you know, every day, all spring, all camp. We've played other good defensive teams, and now we've kind of – and everybody's a little unique schematically, and these guys are too, but we've been able to expose ourselves to a few different things now. I think we're set up as we're going to be. We just got to go do it.
Quick follow-up. Caleb, are you worried about eye candy that he could be seeing that he needs to not trust his eyes because Jim Knowles is so good at disguising things?
Well, he does a good job. I mean, he tests quarterbacks. He tests every quarterback on how committed they are. And typically that's what good defenses do, and typically good quarterbacks respond by not taking the bait, not taking the cheese. Stay focused on executing your offense, doing your job, and that's what he needs to do.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind Casino, Still the One, and by Allstate. proud partner of Oklahoma Athletics. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Sooner Sports Network.